بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When a Nabi comes to this world, he comes with a mission. From the day he is appointed till the day he leaves, his focus is on that mission. He never turns away. Whether he is resting, whether he is awake amongst people, with the family, his mind is focused on that mission. An alim is a deputy of a Nabi. Being the deputy of the Nabi, he can only qualify to be the deputy if he is nazar and his focus is like the focus of the Nabi. Otherwise, he doesn't qualify to be called the deputy of the Nabi. His fikr must be the same. So what is the fikr of the Nabi? What is the focus of the Nabi? The focus of the Nabi is that he wants to dispense the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He wants to dispense it. To one and all, to all and sundry, he wants to dispense the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. رَحْمَةً مُهْدَاتِ. He has been sent as a mercy personification of rahmat and hidayat. So the mercy of the Nabi will show out different ways, but mainly in hidayat, rahmatam muhdat. It will feature in different ways, but mainly it will show out and it will feature in the form of hidayat. So when he will come, or when he comes, then he has to do two things. One is, he has to see what are the aspects that turn people away, that lead people away. And the other is, then how to lead them correctly. And that is just natural. I appoint you as a manager of my shop. You run the thing. Right? So when you take the keys of the shop, then you will want to see first what are the loose ends here. That's the first thing you want to see. What are the loose ends? How is the wealth being managed? Is there any robbery, any stealing, any theft, any deception, any wrong and inconsistency that's happening? That's the first thing that you want to see. And the second thing is then, I'm appointed as the manager, and what they expect of me is to promote this business, to take it further, all the way. So all the time, this will be my focus. So the Nabi, obviously, his level of yaqeen and mushahada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the highest level. The manager, he has got a mushahada and he's got a perception of his boss, of his senior. And the perception and the confidence that he's got on the boss will motivate him, will push him forward. But obviously, his perception and his understanding of his boss will be limited, small. How much he can do? Well, he can do this much. So accordingly, he will work. But the Nabi, his perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his perception of the one that is appointing him will be of the highest level, very high. So when his level will be very high, then his sight and vision also will be very high. His focus will be high, his sight will be high, his vision will be high. And over and above that, this appointment is divine. Allah Ta'ala makes his appointment. So he will make the appointment to a person, for a person, or in favor of a person who he is certain that he is absolutely appropriate. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَنْ يَغُلْ. The Nabi will not do the slightest deception, no fraud, no deception, absolutely. To the extent, one person, he was supposed to be executed, is brought into the divine presence, and there is a recommendation that he wants to accept Islam, so he must be accepted. Rasulullah is silent because prior to this, it was already announced that this person must be killed because of the wrongs and the crimes that he has committed, that he deserves to be killed. So Rasulullah is silent. So the recommendation is made, and Rasulullah is quiet. Anyway, this whole sitting had ended. So Rasulullah then announced that, wasn't there one intelligent person amongst yourselves? And I remain quiet, and this person deserved to be killed. When he deserved to be killed, then you should have taken him and killed him. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you should have indicated with the eye, you know, with the eye you could have indicated that this person is supposed to be killed, so take him and kill him. So Rasulullah cautioned them, see, that مَا كَانَ لِنَبِينَ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ خَائِنَةُ الْعَيْنِ. Okay, the Nabi can't practice any type of deception, not even with the eye. The slightest degree of deception, the Nabi can't, it's impossible. So the one that is divinely appointed will be of a very high caliber, very, very high caliber. Absolutely no deception. He's absolutely flawless. You can't find a flaw in him. Obviously, who he's appointed by Allah Ta'ala. So when Allah Ta'ala scans someone and he screens someone, then can there be any flaw in that person? He's directly appointed by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala, you can't imagine any mistakes in that. If people appoint, then there can be mistakes. I imagine the person to be truthful, honest, upright. But unfortunately, he hasn't performed according to my expectations. So when Allah Ta'ala appoints, then you can't imagine any problem, any weakness. So when the Nabi will then analyze, then his analysis will also be the highest. He is appointed by the highest. So when he makes an analysis of a situation, then his analysis also will be the highest. You can't imagine any analysis higher than that. If he says that this is the problem, and this is how we need to solve the problem, rectify the situation, then obviously that analysis will be the highest. You can't imagine any analysis above that. The highest is appointing him. So he's scanning and he's x-raying and he's seeing the person will be of the highest. And the man will be of the highest. When he'll be of the highest, so if he comes up with a proposal, that proposal will be of the best, highest. So everything is higher. The proposal is the best. The appointment is the best. The man is the best. Now, when you understood the personality, now come to the real core issue. The Nabi has come now. He's been appointed. Now he's come to the earth. And he's made an investigation. He's made an investigation. What is the problem? Where's the problem area? So I need to study the problem area first, where people are going off. So he found that people are going off in three things, overall, mainly in three things. One is wealth, and one is uncontrollable anger, right? And the other is power struggle. Everybody wants to be recognized. He wants to be recognized. He wants to have some type of influence over the others. some type of supremacy, some type of highness, some type of recognition he wants. So it's wealth, it's position, wealth. Number two, it's position. And number three is uncontrollable, unsatiable anger. Is anger cannot be suppressed. So these are the three main problem areas. Love for wealth, love for position. Then anger, right? Because these are the two main things. And the lever that will take you, the vehicle that will get you across will be anger. You'll put the anger, you know. You'll apply the gear of anger. That gear of anger will push you. That accelerator of anger will push you for these things here. So mainly these are the two things that brings about these problems. One is wealth, unsatiable love and crave for wealth. Then it is the love for position. And then the third is this anger that is uncontrollable, unmanageable anger. So the Rabi found that these are the three areas, major, major problems in this world, fights, disputes, quarrels, wars, all take place because of these three things. If these things are right, then humanity will be on the right. And if these things are not rectified, we try, no matter what we try, you will still get bogged down. You'll go for a step and you'll bog down, go 10 steps backwards again. You go one step forward, 10 steps backwards. So you need to look for a clear path, a right path. Right? Man has got a sugar problem, right? So what the doctor has to do? He has to do two things. One is, he has to identify the problem, right? After he's identified the problem, he'll have to ask the patient, you must go through a diet, number one. And number three, you must take this medication. See, one is he must identify. After identifying, he must ask him, you go through a diet, and number two, you take this medication. If he's only going to ask him to take medication, and he doesn't go through the diet, obviously, it's going to be a failure. He's giving him medication, but there's no diet. He's eating chocolates upon chocolates. And in this one hospital, I don't know if it was in Augustine or wherever it was. Person's sugar level is not just going down. They gave him all the medication. He's under some of the monitoring also. But his sugar level is not just going down. But they're wondering, how come the sugar level is not going down? The best medication you're applying, we're giving that, what they call that injection? Insulin injection, we give him all, everything we're giving him, but the sugar is not going down. What's happening? So some nurse or someone felt suspicious. They went and put their hand under the mattress. They saw slabs and slabs of chocolate. Man was finishing 2-3 slabs every day. Big slabs, and he's finishing every day. So like he has to take the medication, he has to go through a diet as well. Now he's only taking medication and no dieting, obviously it's not going to work out. You want to become a bodybuilder, strong and everything. So there's two parts to it. One is they will give you some supplements, energy supplements they will give you, you must take that. And number two, you have to go for training. Now you only go for the supplements and you don't go for training, what's going to happen? You'll become like a watermelon, bloated like that, right? You'll become like that, but no strength. You don't have the energy. So it's two parts to it. So the Nabi has to work out the itinerary of man. He has to work it out. Then I must see what is the problem, the core issue. And the Nabi must be so intelligent, so capable, that he mustn't only identify the problem for this zamana. For every zamana he must identify human problems. There are problems in his time, then there are problems in the latter centuries, then in the latter days, there are going to be problems again. But his solution must be so universal, so comprehensive, that that solution that the Nabi will bring about must be applicable, must apply, and must work for every zaman. Can you see the Nabi's work? His mission is so great. It must apply, it must be workable for every zamana. You have to understand who's your Nabi. If you don't understand who your Nabi, how great he is, what his favor is on the Ummah, then you won't be able to appreciate him. But you understand him that he is the Muhsina Azam. There can't be any person whose ihsan is greater to this universe. There can't be a person, in other words, in humanity, there can't be a person that whose favor is greater to mankind than the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you recognize him, you identify him, then you'll want to work for him, you'll want to do things for him. You understand your parents, right? So you want to do things for them. You recognize them, you have a love for them, you have an affinity for them, so you want to do things for them. You recognize your wife, your children, so you want to do things for them, right? Going out to India or for Umrah, and there too you want to do something. That memory is still locked up in your mind that I have to do something for them, right? You, in your young age, still think I need to do something for them. Though they are still small, but you still think, no, I need to do something for these children. And as you advance in age, you still think, I need to do something for these people. See, that's now locked up in your mind. Because of the love, the affinity. And then, the affinity and the love, right, is to be at the highest level, al-Nabi Ola bil Mu'mineen. Because it is not just love for his physical self. Muslim has a love for the physical being of the Nabi itself. Just for the physical self, he has a love. But more than the physical is the spiritual. What favor he has favored the believers with. The world with what favors and what ihsan he has done. So now his favors are multiplied. They multiplied. So much favors upon favors, favors upon favors. His favors are multiplied. So you understand your Nabi. Then you understand the solution that is brought about. Then you understand the personality of the Nabi. Now, the solution that is given, now that will be most effective. You will take it seriously. Otherwise, you will take it very lightly. So the Nabi came to this world, and then he identified. He found, he studied that the greatest problem, one is wealth. It's unsatiable desire for wealth. Crave for wealth. So this is now one great problem. When a person crave for wealth is uncontrollable, then he'll behave in very strange ways. One place he's going and he's deceiving. He's cheating people, robbing people. He's not worried about anything else, about disgrace, embarrassment, about consequences. He's not worried. Just that unsatiable crave for wealth that has possessed him, it has taken over him. So all what is in his mind is somehow, how must I get that wealth? How must I corner that wealth? He's not worried about consequences. He's not worried about what people have to say, reputation, nothing, nothing. He's not concerned about anything. All he's worried about is that wealth. I must get that. Right way, wrong way, with respect, without respect. What people say, what people's sentiments are. Not concerned, disconcerned, absolutely disconcerned. No, I must get that wealth. So he will go to all type of ways, all type of things he'll do. Fraudulent things, deception, drugs, anything but that must yield some wealth. It must produce some wealth, must be wealth producing. I'm prepared to do it. So he'll go to this one level he'll go. But as the hadith says very clearly, that you wrongfully take away and usurp someone's property. Just one handspan of property of someone else you take. Only one handspan. So much. On the day of Qiyamah, that land, that earth, till the seven earths. Now imagine one land, one earth. And one earth, you know the diameter of the earth, right? And then from the top right to the bottom, what will be the amount of earth in that? Then there's not one earth, there's seven earth. Look at the diameter, like look at the circumference, and look how deep, look at the depth, it's all that. All that is collected, made into a garland, thrown onto his neck. Can you imagine the position of that person? If there was a rock thrown over you, how difficult it becomes. Yeah, it's not just a rock. All seven earth is garlanded around your neck because of one hand span of earth. So this Tabligh Jamaat people, you'll find, they talk of Iman and Yaqeen, right? Now we hear these talks, in the Jummah, etc., but it doesn't affect us. Why it doesn't affect us is that Qiyamah, do we believe in it in theory, but we don't take it so serious. We know this is the punishment, this is the reward, this is the warning, and this is the sawab for this type of action. We know about it, we hear about it, but we don't take it that seriously. So this punishment and this rewards must be brought to our... We need to remind ourselves all the time. I'll do this, this is the punishment. I'll do this, this is the reward. This is the punishment, and this is the reward. You remind yourself constantly, now it becomes a reality. One person... He wants to steal someone's goat, you see, someone's goat he wants to steal. But now, he belongs to the scientific age of technology, and he belongs to the 21st century. So he has to employ a method that is very advanced. He can't use a primitive ancient method, very, very advanced method he needs to use to go and steal that person's goat. He saw that nice, fat, good-sized goat he bought, one of its kind, you know. So how much I steal it? So he got about 2-3 people, they all share that goat, nice, good size, 10,000 rand worth of that goat is so good, nice, good looking. So he got 2-3 people all stationed in different positions, you know, half a kilometer apart. So the first person introduced him, how are you, Chacha? Oh, very well. How much you paid for this dog? Hey, this is not a dog, this is a goat. Oh, but this goat, this dog looks very well. I'm telling you, this is not a goat, it's not a dog, it's a goat. Anyway, he's over that person. Now he's walking half a kilometer ahead. As he comes half a kilometer ahead, he's got his second man there. Chacha, hey, this type of a dog is one of its kind, state of the art, man. How you manage to rear it up so beautifully? Now this man is wondering, the first man told me already, but the second person is telling me the same thing. Really, I think my eyes is not right, and I need to go and see an optician. I don't know about the right thing, about the wrong thing. I'm not very clear about it. Now he's already in doubt. Now he's carried on another half a kilometer with the next third person. Hey, Chacha, what do you want for this dog? Tell me the price, I'll pay it for you. See, now he's convinced, hey, just take this away, throw it away. I don't want to, what am I doing with the dog? I eat something for Bakrid. What am I doing with the dog here? Napak thing here is. So you see, a thing that is false, a thing that is a farce, it's a false. But you keep talking about it, you get convinced. So things about the Akhirat, Jannah, Jahannam, you need to keep talking about it. Not only talking about it, but more than talking, thinking about it. Okay, this awaits me if I do this, and this awaits me if I don't do this. So this must be a constant thing in a mu'min, in a believer. He needs to keep thinking, oh, this is the consequence for this, this is the consequence for this, this is the consequence for this, this is the consequence for this. When Nabi Sallam speaks about the grave, he says, تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. It reminds you of the Akhirat. So to remind yourself of the Akhirat is something desirable, something Rasulullah wants us to do, to remind ourselves about the Akhirat. Go to the Qabr and remind yourself of the Akhirat. So he wants us to remind ourselves. He wants us to remind. We must remind ourselves. Don't take it like a casual thing. Remind ourselves. So this problem that we are getting is because we don't remind ourselves. We don't think about it all our mind is working around is the things that we see. The mushahada, the things that we see, the things that we know, we just remind ourselves around those areas. But these areas here, we don't remind ourselves. So when we don't remind ourselves around these areas, then these things, as though they don't exist, na'uzu billah. See? So it becomes an area that is forgotten. You'll find good Muslims. Sometimes a month passes, but there is no mention of Jannat and Jahannam in their lives. No mention, not even a thought runs through their mind about Jannat, about Jahannam. In this regard, must understand, sometimes you'll find some statements made by some Sufis, etc. Alright, they said, and they made those statements in certain frame of mind. You don't have to quote them when you don't understand them fully. You don't appreciate them fully, then don't quote them. And then you will have no objections against them. If you will have objections, if you are going to think about their statements, you don't understand them fully, just leave it aside. What is straightforward in the hadith, practice it. Like for example, in the month of Ramadan, أسألوك الجنة وأعوذ بك من النار. Nabi Sam said it, let's just do it. Let's constantly do it, and we do it with our hearts. We don't understand the depth of it, the gravity of it. Some Sufis have said something, whatever. With due respects to him, all right, he said it in a certain frame of mind, in a certain context, I don't understand that. But the real standard is what Rasulullah SAW said. Him you're not going to disrespect. You're not going to disrespect him, but you're not going to leave out the standard. The standard is that Nabi SAW asked us to do this. So I was thinking the simple way, simple way to get this dua right, simple way, easy way. We all look for ease, eh? Difficult things we can't manage. In the month of Ramadan, simple way. In between the two rakats or four rakats, three, four times ask, As'aluka al-Jannah, a'udhu bika min al-Nar. But with your heart. Even if it is not in Arabic, please give me Jannah, save me from Jahannam. What Nabi Sam is saying is the standard. When it's a standard, then you must do it. Then don't look for this type of statements and then put yourself into a confusion where you hear about Rabia Basariya going with a pitcher of water and a burning ember. What are you going for? So now I'm going to extinguish that fire. People worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of, they worship him because they fear that they'll get into Jahannam. And this one here, I'm going to extinguish that. I'm going to put off Jannat. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the Jannat, so I'm going to burn it out. And this water I'm taking to extinguish the fire for the fear of his people, Allah ta'ala worship Allah ta'ala. Now this is an isolated statement. Don't make that a standard. We don't know the context that she spoke about, why she spoke about it, how she spoke about it, context that leaves that out. Don't put your mind in that. When you will reach that level, you will understand her statements. Now you haven't reached her level, and you're trying to analyze the statements, it's unfair of you. When you of that level, it will become automatic, you'll understand why she said this, in what context she said it. But you're not of the level, then don't you now try to imitate to be of her position. You just go by the standard. The standard is, ask Allah Ta'ala's Jannat and ask him protection against fire. Simple, actually, after two rakats, four rakats again. But please Allah, it won't decrease your kingdom in any way if you give me Jannat. And it won't increase your kingdom if I go into Jahannam. Allah, please, you protect me. You look after me. Allah, you protect me. You look after me. See? Then you can ask dua in that. Make such a dua that for me and for my people or for my family, Muslims at large. But make the dua after two rakats, four rakats, two rakats, four rakats. You get the chance. But with your heart, dil say, ask. You don't know in the ten two rakats, one two rakats, it may just come right. You keep on asking the dua after two rakats, or you can do it like this. In the two rakats, perhaps you can ask for Jannat and protection against Jahannam. So the other two things is istighfar and la ilaha illallah. So in the four rakats, you can make istighfar and la ilaha, istighfar and la ilaha illallah. For the first few moments you make istighfar. But istighfar with the feeling of nadamat, feeling of regret, remorse, with a sorry, with a hard heart, with a very heavy heart, not hard heart, with a very heavy heart. Please forgive me, forgive me. And la ilaha illallah at the end. This reading the last la ilaha illallah, and Imam Sahib says Allahu Akbar. So it will refresh in you as well, and you have conformed with this hadith as well. It will refresh in you, and you have conformed with this hadith as well. Just that in our South Africa, it's a race. Race, everything is speed up. Two rakats, four rakats, two rakats, four rakats. India, they do it itminan ke saath, relax. That's a better way. Life goes slower there, and it's better for the life to go slow. Everybody's doing things with itminan, making ruku also, sajda, all itminan. Right? Whatever else has to be done, but with itminan now, they're not, no race they've got. So the idea is that more than anything else, it's the correction of the heart and correction of the mind, not just to go through the motions. See, like what we're doing in South Africa, we're going through the motions. But the more important thing is to correct the heart and correct the mind. And the mind and the heart gets corrected when you do things gradually. I'm doing this like this. So the mind is identifying, it's understanding, is taking it completely. See, that is why you'll find when they work out a curriculum for a child in a school, right? Then they spread it out over 12, 13 years. Because to take on concepts, it takes time. He understood one, the small break, interval, his mind is refreshing, then he goes into another period, right? Then his mind is refreshing. Now he's grasping those concepts, the concepts are getting deep into him. Right? Things become like natural for him. He is going, we are going. He doesn't have to be taught now, Jama Sira and Ah, and if it's not a Jama Sira, then it is. We are going. He doesn't have to be taught. It's become natural. So these things must become natural, slowly, slowly. See? Especially our acts of ibadat, devotional practices, do it with itminan. Don't hurry in it. Right? Now, especially we've got this last 10, 11 nights now, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we do it gracefully and we give ourselves a chance. Now, let me think about it. Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me, please, Allah forgive me. La ilaha illallah. As'aluka al-jannah, a'udhu bika minan nar. Otherwise, you say, as'aluka al-jannah, a'udhu bika minan nar, rahmatika ya rabbal alamin, keep moving. So it's just a formality. There's no life in it. There's no life in it. And here there's life. Please, Allah, please, I beg you. It takes time for you to register and for that thing to come into your mind. It takes time. Otherwise, you're just moving. You convince yourself, no, I know about it. Jannat and Jahannam, I know about it. So what? But to get that frame of mind, to understand the severity of Jahannam, the importance of Jannat, that your mind needs to identify, needs to recognize. For the wing of a mosquito, right? For the wing of a mosquito, just one fraction of the wing of the mosquito, right? One fraction. How much of shopping we have to do? Bin Dawood and bin Fala Fala. Yeah? But all that we do for not even a fraction of a wing of a mosquito, because the whole world is not even a wing of a mosquito. So what you are going for, the shopping, whatever it is, yeah? Cell phone, chip, this, whatever, maybe you know, one, not even a million millimeter, huh? Of a wing of a mosquito. Because now you're talking of the time the earth started till now. So for that now you have to make so much of Magesh Mari, write a list, I need to just get this thing here, shopping here, whatever. A child of mine needs this type of kurta and the wife needs that type of scarf. So much of Magesh Mari, so much of thought, so much of fikr in that. And here, Jannat and Jahannam, as we look at Jannat, also become minar, finish. Allah gave us Jannat, finish. We are through. So put your mind into it. And this will happen when you do it gracefully, gradually, gracefully. Don't rush yourself. Don't rush into these things. It will sit in your mind, it will settle. Then when it settles in your mind, then the outlook is different then. If it's not settled, then it is like that meat that is not done. It's not done. You want to eat it. Raw meat. Or you just cooked it now. You just prepared, you say 5%. 95% is left. You want to eat it. Kebab, only 5% you've done it. You want to eat the thing. You know, no taste. So the taste comes when it's done very well. That, and for doing it well, you need patience. You need to be with that. That's why they say that a good cook is that cook that is patient. It's got the patience for that thing to slowly heat up. Now you want to push it one shot. That meat, you're going to put it very high, one shot. It's going to get burned. The top will get done, inside will get left out. So similarly, you're going to do this. Then the top of your ibadat will be done. The cover is done. But inside, it's not done at all. So do it slowly. Please, I ask you. I beg you. Nabi Sam is in sajda. Long, long periods he's in sajda. See? So we do these things, yeah, and you do it gracefully. Don't do it with a speed. Especially the du'as, yeah? Du'a, all that, whatever relates to that, do it gracefully. So what we're talking about is these three areas that we have in our lives. Now, I showed you some simple ways how to get this. You know, you get this du'a, how you going to get it? Why I think of simple methods is when you look for difficult methods and nobody practices it. You look for a simple formula, and you can practice it. You can practice it, you can do it. But you look for a complicated thing, then you'll do it for 1 day, 2 days, complicated thing, and then after that you'll shelve it. But if it's a simple thing, it's manageable. So easy, between the rakats, I can just do this, I can say this. Now you got it, you achieved it. See, between the rakats now, Astaghfirullah, La ilaha illallah, As'alukal Jannah, A'udhu bika minan nar. But dil ke saad, ask from the heart. Don't just make it lip service. You know, I explained once before also that you hear of a big night, you know, big night and the virtue of the big night, etc. And the simple thing, how to get that big night, how to not lose out at all, is start from Maghrib time, because the night starts off from Maghrib. Maghrib started and you started in the masjid, at home. Whatever you could achieve in the first portion of the night, you achieved. As you come home, you can do something, lose a little bit. And then you want to sleep, whatever. So if you got up with tahajjud, then it will be nurun ala nur. You have got one level and you're getting a second level. Now you don't start off at Maghrib. You think to yourself, no, I'll start up at the right time, the last portion. Sulusul layl al-akhir, last portion of the night. You don't get up, finish. You lost out first portion, you lost out second portion. Both you lost out. But you start off, or whatever I can, let me do it now. And then I intend to get up. Inshallah, you'll get the reward for it, and you haven't lost out the whole night. So this is how you plan yourself. Start the easy things. The easy, simple things, start it off. And then the difficult things also will come under your control. But you only go for difficult things, and the easy things will leave out. Like a wise, no, I'll go for the kill. I'll go for the jugular. You know? I'll go for the jugular. Then you won't get anything. You won't get the tail. Also. Leave the jugular. What do you get the tail? So this is the one thing that has been encouraged in the hadith. As'alukal Jannah, a'udhu bika minan nar. And I explained that once you keep thinking about it, and you know, would you apply your heart and mind, and that becomes a reality. And for that thing to settle in your heart, you need time. You need time for it to settle in your heart. You can't just be running through motions, phases. Can't. It doesn't settle. Keep yourself with it, Milan. Don't allow your mind to be disheveled and scattered. Then that thing settles in your mind. It comes. This morning's talim you're reading. Look at that ending. That ending line was very important. Very, very important. That ending lines was very, very important. Where that goat story and all that. But what's that ending line that woman gives? That ending line is this, that this animal the animal, the fodder it requires for its growth is the goodness of the heart. The better the condition of the heart, and the better the fodder, the better the production on that animal. So that's a general statement. The better the condition of the heart, and you see every production of yours is better. Now you have to see right through, all round you have to see, is my heart right? Not only in one aspect, you only look at iman and yaqeen, alright, that's the greatest part, iman, yaqeen, that's one dimension. Then do you have any malice? Do you have any jealousy? Do you have any pride? So all round, keep your mind, keep your heart as clean, as good as possible. You're thinking good for others, thinking good for the world, you're thinking, you got no hasad, you got no jealousy, you got no pride, you got no greed in your heart. So now keep your heart like that. It's a simple way how to be more successful, how to be prosperous. He's a prosperous person. This person is a winner. So a simple way how to be a winner is keep the heart good all the time. Not only clean, but keep it good all the time. For things, for people, for yourself, for everybody. Just keep that heart clean, good all the time. And you'll see things are working out. Because your heart is good. And your heart changes, then the things also changes. You'll find a lot of stories like this. You know, that pomegranate story. You know, where he's squeezing that pomegranate, just the heart changed. The heart changed, and that thing went. The Quran Sharif speaks about Ashab al-Jannati idh aqsamu la yasrimunnaha musbihin. Heart changed, that thing changed. And the heart improved, that thing improves. You see, the heart, just to get it right, get it focused again. Get it focused. It's wrong. Just reshape it. Just quickly. Try and correct it. Rectify it all the time. Let's bring it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. And the easy way to get it right is, think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the supreme control. You are everything. Everything you are. There's nothing that you don't have. Everything you have. So when Allah Pak is everything, then the right way is then just to focus on Him. Rather than think of many other things, just think of Him. Put your heart just onto Him. Yesterday I explained about La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So just put your heart on that. So that heart needs to be right, rectified all round. Yaqeen, Iman, Sabr, Shukr. You know, all round. Now you got Iman right, but you haven't got Shukr. Right? In India, one place we're going, so on. Good person, very good person. Outwardly, you seem nice person. Say, hey, make dua for my son. My son must become a world-renowned cricketer. Ramzan month, and for all things, if the man is asking, he's asking for this thing. He'll become a world-renowned cricketer. What a stupid thing to ask for. This world, Allah Pak has created. Not that you accumulate everything of the world, this, everything. What you need, take your thing and move. It's just now, as you were reading the kitab, one example is going in my mind. You know? With examples, you understand things better. Examples, you don't give illustrations, and it doesn't work out. You've got a cow, right? What is the purpose of keeping a cow? Milk, right? Production. Now, that cow, it doesn't produce for you. But that thing is collecting in its pen, it's collecting all the different types of stones and different type of things that it found everywhere. The whole world it found. And it's storing it up, and spacking it up, laying it up everywhere. What you'll appreciate that cow. It's giving you milk now, one liter of milk for the whole day, 20 from the 30 liters that it would normally provide, it's giving 1 liter. But the whole day what it is doing, it's adorning and decorating its pen. Right? Will that be worth to you in any way? And the other one is not worried about its pen, alright, it's got a little bit of, so just keeping it clean. But the whole time it's worried to show the production. Now will you appreciate this? So you as a believer, what is supposed to be your production? Decorate your home and get this Persian carpet also, and get this from New Zealand, and get that type of topi, that type of socks, that type of dafa kurta, and this type of pen and that type of chocolate and that type of ice cream and that type of sweet and that type of lollipop, right? That type of fridge. Was that the purpose, or production is the purpose? This you need to keep a little bit just to see that you carry on. That's the idea. Just to facilitate the journey. Need. But now you keep everything. So your mind gets locked up in so many things. And then the real journey becomes complicated. Now you look at a genuine South African house, average, above average. It's such a complicated life. 3/4 of the mehnat is to clean up now. Clean up, shine up, polish up, old house. 3/4 of the mehnat goes in that. The man of the house or the woman of the house, the 3/4 of the figure is on that. Production time, not even quarter. Is that fair? Is our relationship fair with Allah Ta'ala? I was seeing the Haram Sharif this time. Ma qadarnaka haqqa qadrik. Repeatedly, I don't know if you remember. Ma qadarnaka haqqa qadrik. Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. We haven't valued you, Allah Ta'ala. We haven't. Now when I look at ourselves, look at our own homes, go and look at anybody's house. Look. 3/4 of the time is like that. So production time is very little. Production time, real production. What is production? You must understand what you meant for here. What's your journey out for? That's production. Production time is very little, and 3/4 of the time is spent in all this thing here. Laghwiyat. Whereas, suppose you design your house such a way that in 10 minutes or 15, 20 minutes, everything is rounded up, clean, class. And now let that whole house be buzzing with production. Let it be production. Now we're sitting here, we need to think, or how must I work it in the home? I was explaining to someone, we'll have two different situations. One is where, from the very beginning, you make it known to your wife by shopping or not for us, it's not for us. Shopping, unnecessary going out here, there, no, it's not for us. So you make it, from the very beginning, you make up her mind that we came for production. When we came for production, I must work, you must work. I must cooperate, you must cooperate. Right? If I go off, you must teach me. And you go off, I will teach you. I correct you, you correct me. With awanu al-birri wa taqwa, this home will be running in the right direction. Right? So this is what we out for. So from the very beginning, you chalked the itinerary out. So now the cause, the path is clean, clear, and you're moving. Right? You're moving. You're supposed to do it from the first day of your marriage. Right? But from the first day of the marriage, it was too much darling and all that. And I must consult my wife now. I didn't speak to my family and all that. You have that attitude. Now you can't come like a mountain over her now. You know what? No production in this house here. You need to just reshape this whole thing. You can't do it. Overnight, you can't dynamite. A human mind, you can't dynamite. Now you need to employ a method, think of a method, I have to get this right, I know I'm wrong. We erred somewhere. Right? We got all the frames of this one here, frames of that, all. We got all art pieces, we got everything. But production, where's the production? We like that cow that is adorning, it's beautifying its kraal. Beautifying its kraal, but no production in the thing. That is why you'll find sometimes it's a simple home, very simple, basic home. Lekin dil lagta hai uske andar. You feel nice in that house. Simple. There's nothing there. No art piece, nothing. But your heart feels very comfortable, relaxed there. And sometimes it is done so well, so beautiful. Everything is to the T. The matching curtain to the bed and to the paint. And everything is matching. Everything is right. But you don't feel at ease. Or if for the moment you get excited with the color or the color theme that they have got in that house, you get a little bit excited. But after that, the thing finished. It's hollow. So if there is the production, you'll feel nice. You'll feel happy. You'll feel comfortable. No production. What's the need to be there? So if you belong to the second category, the first category was from the day one you started off. Now you realize that you're in the wrong cause. I say that the outlook. Yesterday also I spoke about outlook and how to change that outlook. I showed about the Haram Sharif and two people going out. Outlook is different. Yeah, outlook is different. How they will conduct their time. Outlook is right, the important thing. So in your house now, the outlook needs to be changed. When this needs to be changed and you went on the wrong path, you know, like you're going now on a freeway, right? Now you realize that you're in the wrong path. You can't just go in reverse, you know, from the, in the freeway, in the middle, like Bilal did the one time. You can't go and do that. You can't do that now. You have to look for the next turn that may take about at least 20 kilometers, 30 kilometers off ramp, then you turn right round, come back. So you went now so far in that wrong lane, right? Now it'll take your time now, gradually you have to think now, make a zihn with the wrong lane, you have to go to the off ramp, come out nicely, gracefully off the off ramp, then you have to make patawa them, say, or let's have some coffee or something. Right, now you patawa them, then you have to give something also, right? You know, you get a good customer coming in your shop, then you have to give something, some coffee, tea, whatever. Sir, how are you? This, that. Your idea is to sell your product. So with your family also, the idea is to sell the product. When you need to sell the product, then you need to patawa them, you need to pamper them a little bit. Right? Pamper them, buy them some gift, this, that. You got that for what? You got them to bring them to Allah Ta'ala. Now you're not using it to bring them to Allah Ta'ala. Then what's the good of your wealth? What's the good of your wealth that you didn't use it to bring these people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's the good? Is lanat on that wealth. But if you used it somehow, or right, pamper them, you need them. You can't say you can do without them. Without the family, can you do without wife and children? You can't do. You can't. When you can't do without them, then you need to understand that this is the road that you have taken. When you have taken this road here, now you have to pay for it. It's your mistake. You have to pay for it. Now let me see gracefully, gradually. Now you hear, hey, they want to buy one small earring, or they want to buy one hair clip. And the ladies, they went there for a hair clip. They spent 2 hours in the shop. 2 hours. This ponytail, this, and you know, Ramzan month. These stories here. Or they were not immodest people, not shameless people. But then, is this the right thing? Is this the right thing? But then the men are to be blamed. The men are to be blamed because this is the pattern that you have set in the house. You can't say, now these ladies are always thinking, they're pulling up their face now, and I've just to give in. No, you have to design them. لِرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَ Why did Allah Pak say, الرِجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ Why did Allah Pak say that? الرِجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ Why did Allah Pak say that? Think to yourself, why did Allah Pak say that? They are deficient, they can't think right. So you have to get them right, but a little bit of pamper, a little bit of, you have to go off ramp, and then come back onto the road. So you have to drive a little bit more, drive them, take them to a little bit of beach, whatever, show them something, scenery, this, that, and then bring them, but it mustn't be such now that all the time is just in the scenery, beach and coffee and all that. Coffee bean, what they call it, coffee bean. So all the time is not just gone on that. Then you won't come on the right road again. So you see, now you have these two categories. Now you need to understand which category you belong to. Then you can't just, like I say, from the freeway go on reverse. You can't take U-turn. You take a U-turn, you're going to make a big bus stop just now. Can't do that also. Can't take U-turn, and you can't just go on reverse. You have to now look for a side road, gradually turn them, and then bring them. See? So that is now a man's duty. Like I say, lil rijali. Look at the explicit ayat. Lil rijali alayhinna daraja. Ar-rijalu qawamun. You're the leader. So your answerability is greater. I'm going to do this. Now what's going to be the end result? Today I'm here, tomorrow I'm not here. Then what's going to happen to these children? I didn't give them a line. All I showed them, I'm going to visit here, go and see this place, excitement. I didn't show them. I didn't introduce them to Allah Ta'ala, introduce them to Akhirat. I didn't introduce them. So what's going to happen to that? So when you think about Akhirat, then you think of a plan, then you think within yourself, now how must I work it? I need to get things, but how must I work it? And when you think that Allah Pak opens the ways. But what Allah Pak doesn't like is you don't think about it at all. You're just running into things madly. And you don't think, you don't make muzakara. You're talking with your wife only about exciting stories. Oh, we went hunting here. That's what. One giraffe is shot. You know how he shot that thing. So, now and then you throw on exciting stories. All right. But make them concerned about the real issues. Make them concerned about real issues. Not frighten them off their feet that they can't sleep. Right? Not that also. That is an extreme now. And not to waste their time in this type of useless things. Get them onto the real issues, but gradually, slowly, slowly get them. You know, saddidu wa qaribu, like the hadith says, you can't come straight, one shot. Saddidu wa qaribu. Gradually come, bring them on the right. Allah Pak tawfiq naseeb kare. Yusuf.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We discussed a few masail with regards to ghusl. That firstly, what will cause the ghusl to become farz upon a person? That they are basically one of four reasons. That one is discharge of money and semen with shahwat and desire. So if, for example, a person has a sickness, that there is discharge of semen or money, then this will not cause ghusl to become farz on him. So only when that semen is discharged with desire, then only will ghusl become farz upon a person. Then when a person inserts his private organ into the private organ of a woman, or someone inserts his private organ into her organ, then ghusl will also become farz on both of them. Then with the termination of hayz for a woman, and also the termination of nifas for a woman. Then as far as the farais of ghusl are concerned, then one is to wash the entire body from head to toe, completely, not leaving any space dry, and to wash, to gargle the mouth thoroughly, and to place water into the nostrils until the hard part of the nose, until the bone. And while taking the ghusl, even the hair of the beard, if it's a farz ghusl, even the hair of the beard, etc., that also has to be wet completely. A person cannot just suffice on just wetting the top of the hair, but rather all the hair also has to be wet. And a woman who has hair as well, all her hair has to be wet, unless at the time of ghusl her hair is plaited, then she can just suffice on wetting the roots of her hair, though she will not be required to wash the tail of the plait, etc. Then as far as the masnoon method of making ghusl, that one is that it is better that a person covers his private area from his navel to his knee when taking ghusl, though to bath naked is permissible. And when a person baths, should sit down, take a bath in a secluded place, not facing towards the qibla, but facing in some other direction. And then if a person has any najasat on his body, then that najasat should first be washed. Then a person will make wudu, normal wudu, and then a person will start having the ghusl. And taking the ghusl, a person is using the bucket and jug, and a person will pour water over his head first, then his right side of his body, and then his left side, and he will wash thrice. This is a sunnat method of taking a bath. And when washing, a person would rub his hand against his body so that no place is left dry and every place is completely wet. And a person should ensure that those places which normally might be left out, that they should also be wet, especially like the area of the navel or even the ears, that also has to be wet. The portion that can be seen, that also has to be wet. And the beard, etc. Then whilst taking ghusl, a person shouldn't engage in any talk, nor should he engage in zikr, tilawat, etc. And there are also certain occasions when ghusl is sunnat. For example, for those on whom Jummah salah is wajib, for them to take ghusl is sunnat. For those whom Eid salah is wajib, it is also sunnat to take ghusl. Then before putting on the ihram, it is also sunnat to take ghusl. And also for a haji on the day of Arafah, to take ghusl is also sunnat. And there are other occasions when it is preferable and mustahab for a person to take ghusl. Let's say, for example, if a person accepts Islam and he is not in the state of Hadith Akbar, then for him to take ghusl is mustahab. Or after giving ghusl to a mayyit, then it is also mustahab to take ghusl, etc. Then a few miscellaneous masail with regards to zakat. That zakat will only become compulsory upon a person once he becomes baligh. Even though a child might have nisab amount of wealth, but zakat will not be compulsory on the child. Then many have the habit of discharging the zakat in the month of Ramadan, though the zakatable year is during some other month of the year. For example, a person got into possession the amount of nisab in the month of Rabiul Awal. So now his zakatable year, or he should calculate his zakat the next Rabiul Awal, and not to the next Ramadan. So if a person discharges his zakat in the month of Ramadan, then he should calculate the difference between the amount of wealth that he had in the month of Rabiul Awal and that he has now in the month of Ramadan, if the amount in Rabiul Awal was much more than the amount of wealth he has in the month of Ramadan, let's say for example in Rabiul Awal he had 10,000 rands and now in Ramadan he's got 8,000 rands, so he has to pay zakat on 10,000 and not on 8,000. So a person has to calculate his zakat according to the end of his zakatable year and not the month of Ramadan or the time when he is discharging the zakat. And if a person cannot remember when he came into possession or when that nisab amount came into his possession, then if you try to estimate and work out that roughly when he got into possession of that nisab amount, and from then he will work out that that will be his zakatable year, and yearly he will work out his zakat on that date or during that month. Then if a person is paying zakat on behalf of someone else, then it is necessary that you inform that person or take ijazah from that person that you are paying zakat on their behalf. For example, sometimes the husband will pay zakat on behalf of the wife, so he has to inform her prior to that, or the father will pay zakat on behalf of his child, so he has to inform the child before that that he has paid, or that he's going to be paying the zakat on their behalf. Otherwise, if they did not know of it, then the zakat will not be fulfilled and it will not be ada. Then when discharging the zakat, it's very important that a person makes the niyat of zakat. A niyat can be made either when a person is separating that amount. For example, he is going to give 1,000 rands in zakat. So when he's taking out that 1,000 rands, either at that time he made niyat that this amount is going to be given in zakat, or either he makes the niyat when he is handing it over to that deserving person, at that time he makes the niyat. And if a person does not make the niyat for zakat, then he will be given the chance of making the niyat as long as that wealth remains in that very same form in the possession of that needy person. But if before that person makes the niyat, the needy person spends that wealth, then that zakat will not be discharged and it will not be fulfilled. Then as far as the zakat on shares that a person has in a company, then a person should try to work out what is the value of the zakatable assets of that company. That your company will normally have certain fittings and fixtures which will also be of value. The company will have vehicles that are used for business, or will have property that are used for business. So the zakat, a person will not calculate zakat on that, but rather whatever is zakatable in that company. For example, that company has items which it will sell, or it has cash on hand, then a person will calculate zakat only on that amount and the amount of shares that he has in those things. Then as far as the zakat of the wife is concerned, then it is her duty to pay the zakat. But if the husband wishes to pay the zakat, then it is just ihsan, and an act of kindness from his side. With her consent, he has to first get her ijazat and then pay on behalf of her. Then as far as jewelry is concerned, then zakat is only compulsory on gold and silver. On any other type of jewelry, on diamonds, etc., or precious gems, zakat is not compulsory. And when it comes to gold jewelry, then zakat will only be compulsory on those jewelry that are 14 carat and above. If the content of gold in the jewelry is less than 50% in that item, then zakat will not be compulsory on that item. And zakat can only be given to a deserving person who is a Muslim. The nisab of silver. No. Silver is.
This thing must know. Write it down.
The nisab of silver is 612 grams, 0.36. Then a person cannot give zakat to any of his descendants or ascendants, though they might be deserving and recipients of zakat, but a person cannot give any of his ascendants, his parents, his grandparents, etc., nor can he give any of his descendants, his children or grandchildren. But if a person has a deserving brother or deserving sister or nephew or aunt, etc., then a person can give them zakat. And it is better that a person give zakat to family members. If there are any deserving family members, then giving to anyone that is an outsider. As in the hadith we learn that a person will be given double folded reward for doing this. One is that he's doing an act of kindness to his family member, and as well as for this zakat. And if a person has a debt, then a person should deduct that from his zakatable wealth, and zakat will only be paid on the remaining amount of that wealth. For example, a person has 40,000 rands with him, and he has a debt that he's owing someone 10,000 rands, so he will only pay zakat on 30,000 and not on 40,000.